There's only one.
1560 AM, 97.7 FM,
KNZR. The Terry Maxwell Show. He's here to remind you it isn't a spectator sport anymore. You must get into the game. The other side's playing for keeps. You snooze, you lose.
Yeah, welcome back, everybody. We are here with Dr. Jan Mensing. This is the practice hour. It is Wednesday, and we're going to continue the conversation we started on Monday that we're so rudely interrupted about. We got interrupted.
Leticia Perez.
Is that right? That's Leticia Perez, yes.
Interesting.
In Area 5 or District 5 for the county supervisors, and she had to leave the conference, or the meeting and go upstairs because they had a warrant to do a search of her office and her chief of staff's office.
Anyhow, so we were talking Monday before we were interrupted.
Hey, before we get too much into this, because, you know, we're talking about fasting and everything. After I finished my fast, you know, about 5:15 yesterday, I ate a few things. You know, I had a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. My wife says, "Are you trying to make up for 3 days worth of not eating?"
Well, Terry, we have, I'm a big fan of 3-day fasting.
Right.
And people are not going to do it. I beg of people listening not to do it until you are talk to your doctor.
Tuned up. Make sure that you know what you're doing.
You can get in trouble if you don't know what you're doing, all right? That said, it's an amazing thing. A caloric restriction without malnutrition, all right? Without malnutrition is the most powerful non-pharmacologic intervention for extending lifespan. All right.
Well, you know, the one thing I figured out was the reason I ate so many different things was because I was trying to keep my taste buds satisfied. Well, they wanted to taste a lot of different things because I didn't eat a lot of anything.
As we get older,
right?
All right, we have studies showing this. All right, in humans, but we lose more of our sense of smell,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes taste things, and so we tend to, as we get older, substitute more sugars or salts.
Right.
Okay? Right. That's just
trying to break out flavors.
Yeah, I suppose that's the right way of saying it. All right? So it's not uncommon
mm-hmm.
that we, as we get older, that you will end up eating more sugar
right.
or more salt because, it's natural.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's the right word to say. I mean, it's not good for you. Don't get me wrong. It's not good for you. And I have my own problems. You know, I have no sense of smell.
Right.
All right. From
right.
years ago from an accident in the hospital. But so I tend to want to eat more salty things.
Mm-hmm.
Do you follow? It just because that's my body will.
Let me explain on the culinary side. You see, you salt and you sugar things for two different reasons. Salt will hold a flavor longer if you've got the right amount of salt in what you're serving. It holds the flavor longer in your tongue, and it satisfies you better. But if you're using sugar, that is a front flavor, and that's why you have a craving because the sugar doesn't stay with you for very long. After you eat something sugary, it's like, I need more sugar.
Yeah,
because it didn't stay with me long enough. Salt state that makes the flavor that you're trying to bring out stay with you longer.
So what happens when you fast? All right.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we mentioned like where was it? Ben Franklin said something. Where did he say it? But essentially, Ben Franklin said the best way to lengthen life is to decrease the amount of food you eat. All right, this is what, hundreds of years ago, all right, kind of thing, you know. But what happens with caloric restriction, again, without malnutrition,
right.
all right?
Right.
We talked about the people with anorexia nervosa that, you know, they get the BMIs of 10, 15, 12, 15, and they're fasting all the time, mm-hmm. but they have malnutrition. In fact, their death rate is 10 times normal people, all right? Right.
I think their average death is at like in their 50s.
Well, it's I don't know that, but it's...
I used to know the actual statistics.
But it's terrible. All right, that's the bottom line. But here's what happens with proper fasting without malnutrition.
Mm-hmm.
But essentially, you increase what's called AMPK levels. And that means nothing to 90% of the people listening, kind of thing. But what it does is the fasting increases what we call autophagy. It increases killing of all these bad cells.
Right.
Do you follow what I'm saying?
Right, yeah.
And as we get older, you know, your body, every day of your life, you make precancerous cells and bad cells, all right? And your body has T2 killer cells that get rid of these suckers, all
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, fasting essentially increases that autophagy. It increases that process of killing these bad cells. That's
right.
Probably the easiest right. way to say it, all right?
Right.
So it's important.
If that ever figures out that most of my bad cells are in my brain, I'm in trouble. You know that?
Well, you know, the caloric restriction, it decreases what's called the oxidative stress in the body.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what, we have studies done this, and this is, to me, amazing. But I can take the blood or the serum of a person that's fasted for 3 days. All right, the serum. And I can put it in a culture plate of cancer cells,
right?
And that serum will kill the cancer cells. All right,
nice.
It's amazing, these studies we've done. You know, it's a wild kind of thing. Obesity is a big problem, as we've talked in other programs. Major problem, okay, in America.
Mm-hmm.
Just depending how you define it, but you know. 50 to 70% of people are too heavy, all right?
And you went over the statistics on what that does to you.
Yeah. Well, here's what happens. Those that are obese, mm-hmm. especially over a BMI of 32, I believe it is, if I remember right. But that's not that high.
No,
right?
It's not.
But the risk of dementia and cognitive impairment goes through the roof. And we know in rats, we don't know in humans yet, and I don't know these studies will ever be done in humans because
you can get rid of a rat, but if you start getting rid of humans, then people get upset.
Well, there's this, but we know that in rats with caloric restriction, i.e. fasting,
right.
All right, that we can increase their cognitive ability. All right?
You can make smarter rats out of them.
Yeah. And we mentioned the other day on the program, fasting for 3 days. After you've done it for 6 months, it increases your ability of your stem cells to increase.
Right.
Bottom line. All right. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the problems with fasting.
Let's do.
Okay. There's loss of libido, loss of strength, loss of bone mass, menstrual irregularities, infertility, cold sensitivity, slower wound healing, decreased blood pressure, depression, emotional deadening. That's kind of, how would I describe that? People they feel like their emotions are, their body is...
Blunted.
Blunted, yeah, I suppose. Yeah. It doesn't work properly. There's irritability and impaired wound healing, all right? That's the problem with fasting. But the problem with fasting, with those issues, that if you don't do it right,
mm-hmm.
if you don't do it right, and I tell people listening, talk to your doctor. You're not going to try this on your own, all right?
Right.
To see if you're fit and you're able to do it, and you're not going to get in trouble, all right? Mm-hmm. But if fasting is done right, it can be amazing. But there are risks to it if you don't know what you're doing, all right? We use, in fact, I saw a gentleman Monday, all right, new patient. Well, his second visit. This is not the second visit. We're setting up the plan.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a pre-diabetic, all right? Almost one more point and he'd been diabetic.
Right.
All right? He's overweight and there's a bunch of things. And we're going to do a bunch of things to tune him up. Most doctors would give him medicine, probably metformin or something like that. Mm-hmm. I did not.
Mm-hmm.
What did I tell him to do? He's going to fast one day per week, drink at least 12 glasses of water that day, 10, 12 glasses of water.
Right.
One day a week, fast. Nothing. Much, just water. No medicines, no pills, no supplements. The other 6 days a week, he's going to eat breakfast, biggest meal, supper, smallest meal.
Right.
In fact, just in verse, everybody does exactly the opposite. Skip breakfast and eat big dinner, all right? Or supper. That's, everybody does that, all right?
Absolutely.
That is trouble with diabetes. If you do that, Terry, within 3 months, his diabetes will be cured. Oh, my gosh. I've had people go from a hemoglobin A1C of 13, which is disastrous.
Yeah, that is disastrous.
You're going to die, kind of thing. Just terrible. And within 6 weeks, down to hemoglobin of over 7.2.
Mm-hmm.
That's a
huge monumental change.
It's unbelievable, kind of thing, you know. And diabetes is not good because it's
the silent killer. It really
is.
Yeah,
it just, you know, you're going to shorten your life. That's probably the best way to say it. Okay,
you don't feel bad as in the process either.
Now, if you fast, just fasting alone with no other things, just fasting. All right. Within 2 weeks. We have studies showing that your blood pressure will be back down to normal in probably over 50% of the cases. All
mm-hmm.
right.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, it delays memory loss. All right. Short term, if you don't do it right, you will get muscle loss. So there's things we do to make sure that's not an issue. And essentially, from my point of view, before we put them on fasting protocols, they have to be on bioidentical hormones. Both men and women need a little bit of testosterone. Also lose muscle mass when they fast, all right?
That
has to be done. You don't fast unless I've got your hormones balanced, all right? But the other thing that's important is if you do muscle resistance training 3 times per week, even if you don't take testosterone, you will preserve 90% of your muscle mass. It's kind
good.
Of amazing.
Yeah, that's
all right.
Good. That's good.
Now, the problems with fasting, all right, and people do not understand this, all right, especially when you all the toxins your body's been exposed to are stored in your fat. Right? Mm-hmm. People don't understand this, but for the last 50, 60, 70 years, all the toxins that you are exposed to, most of them are stored in your fat.
Yeah, kind of the filtration system.
That's where they
put them there.
That's where they go.
Mm-hmm.
So when you fast, you're breaking down this fat, all right? And essentially, you're poisoning yourself. People don't realize. It's literally.
Mm-hmm.
Now, after you've fasted for 6 months, it's no longer an issue, all right? Fasting, you are not going to do it unless you talk to your doctor, because some people shouldn't fast, all right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's this issue of toxicity, essentially, that we've mentioned. The other thing is there is one church where they recommend fasting. And the study shows that the people in this church that do it live 7 years longer, and they have less diabetes. All right? They mm-hmm. fast 24 hours once every month. What church? Maybe we should take a break and come back to that
and
talk about what church. You'll be shocked. And these people who do this live 7 years longer than the average person.
So if you're doing the 3-day, 21 years, you multiply that by 3?
I don't know. I don't know that. But it's interesting.
Yeah, sounds good. We're going to be back in just a few minutes. If you're listening to Maxwell in the Morning, good to the last mic drop here on KNZR. Yeah, When you're fasting, you just can't get enough of that love, can you? Your body loves you when you do it.
Yeah, it is good. It is good for you. Okay, so what church, Terry?
Well, you already told me during the break, so you don't have to ask me.
Adelaide, what
church do you think?
I did not hear what you guys were talking about.
Well, one church has their members do fasting 24 hours once every month. And it's the Mormons, all right? And the studies show that the people that do this fasting just one day a month, 24 hours, one day per month.
Right.
All right? They live 7 years longer than the average, and there's average lifespan. And there's markedly decreased diabetes in the, in this group that does it, all right? I find that interesting.
Well, I think it's what you said. You're giving 24 hours for the body to kind of cleanse some of the things that it needed to get rid of.
So there was a study of over 2,000 patients, which is quite a bit, Terry.
Mm-hmm.
And they did it in Salt Lake City, Utah, all right, which is a Mormon country.
Right.
All right. And they did cardiac catheterizations on these people, all right? And then they followed them for 4 years, all right? And they're out of this 2,000 people that they'd cath and follow for 4 years.
Right.
There were 460 people that were fasting.
Consistently during that time.
Yeah, fasting. During the Mormon, you know, the, the Mormon fasting. Right. I don't know if it's the right word to say. I don't want to degrade the Mormons. That's not the idea. But I'll call it Mormon fasting, but whatever. But here's, of these 460 that were fasting, out of these 2,000 people in Salt Lake City,
mm-hmm.
all right, they've all got, all these people were cath because they had coronary heart disease. They've got heart problems, all right?
Right.
So this is a moderate risk population, all right? Of these 460 people that were doing this one day fast, Terry, the risk longevity statistics, they had a 46% decreased risk of dying just by fasting 24 hours every once a month. You know, Terry, this is, oh my gosh, kind of thing. This is huge.
Yeah, we understand the power of something like fasting when you have those kind of statistics.
Yeah, it just, Terry, it's, I'm not saying become Mormon, but.
No. Well, you don't have to be a Mormon to fast
once a month.
You
know, here's these 2,000 Mormon people
mm-hmm.
that have heart disease, coronary artery disease. And of that 2,000, 460 were following rigidly this Mormon technique or, I don't know, practice mm-hmm. of fasting 24 hours, one day a month. All right.
Right.
Decreased the risk of dying, the mortality statistics, 46%. Terry, this is huge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is kind of, how should I say it? This ought to wake up everybody listening saying, oh my gosh, I need to talk to my doctor. I need to look at this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, there are some things called, so a lot of research has gone into this, Terry, all right? And there are some, and in fact, down at UCLA, actually UCLA Longevity Center, there's a doctor, Walter Longo. I've met him. He's a very brilliant guy. But people don't like to fast, okay? Let's put it that way. People don't want to do it. So they've started what's called fast mimicking diets. All right, so it's essentially a series of shakes and soups and things you buy. All right, that essentially is set up such that it decreases your IGF-1. You get the benefits of fasting without fasting. All right,
mm-hmm.
that's kind of the idea behind it. And you eat 5 days of essentially this diet, if that's this fast mimicking diet, it's low in proteins, low in sugars, low in calories, but it has all these things that make you feel like you're not fasting. All right, that's probably the best way to summarize.
You still feel full.
Yeah. All right. In fact, some people call it the Prolon, P-R-O, and then capital L-O-N, Prolon diet. All right. It helps. It does help. All right. It's not as good as fasting, all right? That's probably the best thing to say.
Right.
It's not as good as fasting, but there's a place for it, all right? Now, the problem against it is it some, I think it's $800 a month, all right, for these, you know, for soups the, and shakes and all this kind of stuff.
All the things that they are giving you during the time that you're supposed to be fasting.
It's very expensive. All right, that's the thing against it, Terry.
Right.
All right. It's not in the market. Is that the right word? For 5 days to spend all this money. Do you follow what I'm saying? For most people. So it hasn't really caught on because of financial issues, all right? I have my notes. Reassure everybody, you don't fast until you talk to your doctor, all right? We've mentioned that so many times. Maybe a better question is, who should not fast?
I think probably one of the best questions is who should not fast?
Who, of people listening, who are the people who should not fast? Number one, cases of advanced liver disease or advanced kidney disease. Number two, people have porphyria. I don't want to really go into what that is, but these people will know. All right, they've got porphyria, all right? Uncontrolled hyperthyroidism. All right, the thyroid is too high, or those have early Graves.
Right.
If your thyroid's not controlled, you should not be fasting. All right?
Okay.
In fact, I saw a gentleman last week who has probably got early Graves. Mm. All right? And just a lot of problems, and we'll deal with it. But he should not fast.
Right.
All right? Right. If you're pregnant, you should not be fasting. And if you're breastfeeding, you should not be fasting. But other than that, there are very few
instances
where you shouldn't be fasting, Terry. All right? Mm-hmm. But again, you know, you talk to your doctor. You know, I can't say it enough.
Well, you know, my experience was I did the 1 day a week fast for about a year before I started doing the 3 day a month. But I continued to do the once a week. And then one week, it's a 3 day fast instead of a 1 day fast.
Yeah.
And you just get used to it.
Terry, what's it done for you?
Oh, my health is 10 times better. My blood pressure came down. My hemoglobin A1C, even though I do still use metformin, I don't know if I went off the metformin, if it would change or not, but I'm no longer even a pre-diabetic.
Yeah.
My numbers are within normal ranges, but your cognition is what you notice the first.
Yeah, that's probably that's true.
You just feel like you're more alert. Yeah. You're not in a fog at any time.
Okay, let's talk about fasting and cancer for a bit.
Okay.
All right? And this has been, we now know that if we fast before you take your chemotherapy, mm-hmm. it makes the cancer cells more susceptible to the chemotherapy. So there are many protocols out there, even in our town, all right? You go to the cancer center, they know all about this. But there's protocols where we will have you, the cancer doctor, before he gives you the chemotherapy, mm-hmm. will have you fast because it makes the cancer cells more susceptible to chemotherapy.
Right.
Now, here's an interesting study, and you know the cancer doctors know this, but it sort of drives home this point. But they took mice, all right, and we can give mice cancer. I guess that's true. It's true, but we can give mice cancer. Right, you know, people don't realize that, but I can induce or transplant cancer into a mouse. So they what they did. Is they took half the mice and they fasted, made them fast. All right? Cut the calories down. And the other mice, half the mice, they did no fasting, just ate regular diet. Guess what happened? And this is without chemotherapy, Terry. Just fasting.
The ones that were fasting had a vastly reduced incidence of actual cancers that started growing?
No, 100% of the mice that fasted, not one died.
Oh, okay.
But everybody who did not fast, every mouse that did not fast died. All right? And that kind of, you know, when we see these studies, you know, that's not going to happen.
Well, you can't do that in humans.
Exactly.
You just can't do a study with humans because...
We can't do that, all right? But it shows you the power of this, what we call autophagy, all right, we talked earlier in the show mm-hmm. about, and the power of pre, I'm trying to think the right words, but getting these cell cancer cells primed to die,
mm-hmm.
all right, just by fasting. All right, and many today, we have many protocols out there where we will have people before the chemotherapy to fast.
Right.
And the chemotherapy works better.
All right? What happens in some studies is they have to break the code because they notice that there's a side effect or too many patients are dying. They need to know if there's some sort of relationship to the patients dying. They're having a large number of patients dying and whether they all fit into a certain part of the study. And that's over the years, Dr. Mensing, the time that I was a pharmaceutical rep, that happened fairly often where they had to break a protocol.
Yeah. No, so we mentioned Prolon,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not against it, by the way. Okay, it's just very expensive. But the studies of, we have a study with about 100 breast cancer patients and taking Prolon instead of fasting to mm-hmm. try to, you know.
See what the difference would be.
And bottom line, there was no difference. Prolon doesn't work. These fast mimicking diets don't mm-hmm. work for fasting for cancer.
Got it.
All right. That's probably the biggest message. We don't know why. All right. I don't know on that. But the bottom line, there was no real difference. So you don't take Prolon to help with your chemotherapy. You fast. And you don't do that unless you talk to your doctor, bottom line. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The next thing is that we've mentioned that fasting decreases IGF-1. All right. We've mentioned that.
Right.
But it also, there's a new growth hormone. It's called cancer-promoting growth hormone. All right? It's fairly new in the last probably 3 years.
Newly discovered.
Okay. Cancer-promoting growth hormone. All right? And here's what we found with this. That if I decrease my IGF-1, if I fast, okay?
Right.
It decreases this cancer-promoting growth hormone. And there is people that so essentially the hormone that's making your cancer grow faster is decreasing that. And there's debate today in the literature, we don't know yet, whether it's the IGF-1 that's doing it versus this cancer-promoting growth hormone that is the reason why the fasting helps so much with cancer. All right?
Seems like with some more sophisticated study, they'd be able to narrow it down to which one it is.
Now we're going to get there, Terry.
Yeah,
you know, this stuff is last couple of years. This is not. In fact, 99% of the doctors have never heard of this study. You know, this mm-hmm. is very new research stuff. All right, this is not in. You know, this is very early kind of stuff. All right.
Yeah, I'm thinking, Dr. Mensing, do you think there's kind of a cottage industry out there for it? You know, if you get a doctor that is the one that can make sure that you're tuned up and you're doing this properly.
We have functional medicine doctors, usually in Hollywood and L.A. and things like that, where they do this kind of stuff. All right,
right.
I mean, they're very expensive. You know, it'll cost $15,000-$30,000 a year kind of thing to join these practices, all right? This is what the rich, the elite, world famous do kind of thing, all right? Kind of thing. It's not for normal. Well, it is for normal people. Normal people can't afford it. That's probably that kind of medicine, all right? Okay. Now, probably the one message, all right, with fasting for cancer that I want to get through is we've essentially said that caloric restriction helps cancer, right?
Right.
And there's no question about that. It does. But if you do caloric restriction, but you only restrict all cancer, all calories, but only eat meat, all right? And a lot of people do this. By the way, they feel better. A lot of people are eating meat diets, okay?
Right.
And they feel great.
The carnivore diet.
But here's the studies show, if you don't decrease the amount of protein and meat that you eat for fasting, it does not help with cancer protection. All right? There's something called FGF21, and this is very new stuff. But essentially, it has to do with methionine and animal protein, all right?
Mm-hmm.
But problems that we're seeing, early studies, all right, and this is not for sure yet, patients that were vaccinated with mRNA vaccines, and we've mentioned this, the cancer rates are going through the roof.
Right, right.
All this kind of stuff. But if these people who are vaccinated with the mRNA vaccines and they eat a high meat diet, it essentially makes the studies, early suggest the studies suggest that the cancer rate may, or the go up.
That's accelerates it.
Accelerate. Yeah, that's the best way to say it. All right?
All right. Let's take a break.
When we come back, I'm going to go over a paper that was done by, I believe, NIH about fasting.
Great.
And some of the benefits.
Great. We'll be right back.
Go get yourself some cheap sunglasses.
All right, Dr. Mensink, you wanted to get into NIH?
Is that right? There, I have three papers, Terry. I'm going to start with the most recent one,
mm-hmm.
May 30th, 24. That's just a few months ago kind of thing. And then we'll go through, in fact, I have a paper from NIH, January 31, 2007, and talk about how things have changed, all right? That's probably the...
Sure.
I'm not sure if we have time to go through all of them, but just sort of put a capstone on what we've talked about and how things are changing, all right?
Put a cherry on top of that Sunday.
So this first paper, May 30th, 24. So it's pretty, this is,
it's pretty current.
Pretty current. What can fasting do for you, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Number one, boost weight loss, all right? And they also mention under this, essentially decrease the risk of heart disease and can give your health a boost. We've kind of mentioned those kind of things, all right?
Right.
So essentially, increase weight loss, all right? And everybody know, we know that by and large, just instinct, all right? Number two, and we've mentioned this.
Yeah.
It lowers blood pressure. All right? Wow. Okay. And they comment, the science is pretty good on the positive effect of fasting has on lowering your blood pressure. All right? Now, they mentioned that the studies also show that once you stop fasting, your blood pressure goes back to where it was before.
Right. Right?
Okay.
Yeah.
But
just like with any diet, you gain the weight back.
In fact, just let me give you a minute. The paper that was 2007. I'm trying to think. But they essentially, in 2007, said it makes no difference with blood pressure, all right? but versus now, this March or May, it does, all right? So the bottom line, I mentioned this to say where we're going, Terry, as the research. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Oh, sure.
That's probably what I want to emphasize, all right? The second thing is fasting eases inflammation, and it decreases your cytokines, all right? And we've mentioned this so many times. I tell my patients, my job is to get your body into a non-inflamed state. All right?
Right.
And even things like coronary artery disease is started by inflammation. Cancer is started by inflammation. Inflammation starts everything. All right? And so we can't, to me, when we realize that these cytokines that are put out with fasting, decrease inflammation. This is huge with a big H, Terry. All right, just huge. Mm-hmm. All right. And we also, they mentioned, because of these cytokines, we have studies showing that fasting improves lung function. Oh my gosh, if you have COPD,
right.
And you have trouble with breathing,
asthma and all that,
you should talk to your doctor and
get a protocol.
Would I be helped by fasting? Mm-hmm. All right, that's probably the most important thing. The next thing is fasting lowers the LDL cholesterol, the bad cholesterol, all right? The fasting lowers the LDL cholesterol. They mentioned this is a bad cholesterol. It helps, build things, block your arteries, all that kind of stuff. But it is part of prolonging your life, all right?
Right.
The next thing they mention, NIH mentions, fasting boosts brain function.
And that's something I noticed, yeah.
The paper from 2007 makes no difference with brain function. That's how far we've come.
They're looking at the wrong side of the brain.
Things are the research is changing. That's maybe the best way I can say for people listening.
Yeah, we've got less than a minute.
Okay.
I just want to ask you a quick question. This intermittent fasting.
There's a place for it.
Okay.
There's a place for it, Terry. All right. We also know that, just real quickly, fasting cuts cancer risk. We've mentioned that.
Mm-hmm.
Fasting improves insulin resistance.
Right.
And it helps you sleep better. And the studies show better immune system. And the studies are very good now, today, that lengthens your life.
Excellent.
And we mentioned about the Mormons living 7 years longer. This is, oh my gosh, kind of thing.
Yeah.
But all right.
You don't have to be Mormon to do that.
No. And Terry, listen, people listening, if you're going to do this, you talk to your doctor.
First.
Talk to a doctor before you do this. I just can't stress it enough, all right?
Yep. Don't do this without a driver.
It's possible to get yourself in trouble. Yep. You need a doctor who's familiar with this stuff. There's a place for it, but you want to make sure you don't get in trouble. All right? That's the best thing.
All right? We are going to be back with another one Bites the Dust in just a minute.